Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hey, Phil, how are you doing this evening?
Real good.
It's good to be back here again with you on another Sunday evening.
Always awesome to be here on Sunday evenings.
What are we going to talk about this evening?
I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day. Oh, wait a minute. The show's not over yet.
No, not yet.
But it'll be soon.
Very soon.
Yeah. So the last few shows we've been talking, and if you haven't heard the shows, for your homework, you could go to giftofgraceministries.org and listen to them, as well as every show back to 2009, I think.
Yeah.
But we've been talking about how false teachings, strange teachings, comfortable teachings come into the church, and we used last time 1 Peter chapter 4, which probably, Steve, you should read again in case you weren't with us last week. I don't know where else you would have been, but in case you weren't with us last week.
Well said.
1 Timothy, I mean. Did I say 1 Peter?
I think you did.
No, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, and we talked about this is being written when Timothy is a young man who's being mentored by Paul. What a great mentor.
Yeah.
Woof. I can't wait to meet him. And
can you imagine?
Yeah. So he says a lot of things that really apply in our time. And we talked last week, but we're going to continue with it. So why don't you go ahead and read verses 1 through 11.
Sure. Now the Spirit explicitly says that in the last times, some will turn away from the faith by paying attention to deceitful spirits and demonic instructions through the hypocrisy of liars with branded consciences. They forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected when received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the invocation of God in prayer. If you will give these instructions to the brothers, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound teaching you have followed. Avoid profane and silly myths. Train yourself for devotion, for while physical training is of limited value, devotion is valuable in every respect, since it holds a promise of life both for the present and for the future. This saying is trustworthy and deserves full acceptance. For this we toil and struggle, because we have set our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all, especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Let no one have contempt for your youth, but set an example for those who believe in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity.
Yeah, let's stop there. That's awesome. So the Spirit tells Paul that people are going to depart from the faith in the latter days. You know, we're all in the latter days. Now we're in the latter days. He was in the latter days too. But we covered that pretty much last week, that the latter days begin when Jesus comes, as the book of Hebrews tells us. But Paul's talking about how deceiving spirits, not the Holy Spirit, is responsible for these false teachings. And you have teachers that sound very good and they're intelligent and they're very well spoken and they say things that seem logical and believable and reasonable, and it makes people comfortable, and it makes people more comfortable than talking about sin and repentance and condemnation and the cross. And people like things that are going to make them comfortable and feel good. And so as time has gone on, there's much less emphasis on sin. There's much less emphasis on repentance. And there's much more emphasis on having a good experience at church and being entertained. And even the logical endpoint of that is the prosperity gospel.
Right.
And St. John tells us in his letters that, you know, the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world. And as we mentioned last week, when when teachings take you away from the cross, away from repentance, away from how horrible sin is, this is why Paul calls them the doctrines of demons, because the demons don't want you to understand your sin and your condemnation. They want you to think everything is okay. And we went over this last week because, after all, they present a case that has a kernel of truth in it, but then it goes on to say, well, yes, but, you know, the, all these other things. And, you know, now in our day, we have the environment and, you know, are you recycling your pop cans and are you talking to polar bears and are you buying coffee at the right place? And are you doing, and those things are good. Those things are not bad, but those things are not the gospel.
Right.
And these are distractions in many, many ways. It's important to recognize social justice when you already are a believer and you're founded, you're on the foundation, which is the rock, capital R. But people who are not on the rock can be easily deceived with that kernel of truth. And, you know, the scripture tells us Satan can come as an angel of light. You know, he can look very beautiful and sound terrific. And Jesus says he's the father of lies.
Yeah.
He's the great deceiver. So the whole thing can be presented as being, quote, Christ-centered, but then it goes off on some tangent.
Yeah. Yeah, there's always that kernel of truth, as you say, and then it goes off into another direction. You know, Paul says, if you will give these instructions to the brothers, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound teaching you have followed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's saying, avoid profane and silly myths and train yourself for devotion.
Yeah.
You know, because devotion is physical training is of limited value, excuse me, but devotion is valuable in every respect because it holds the promise of life, both now and in the future.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Paul's talking about things over a long period of time.
Yes.
Because the Christian walk is not a, you know, it's not just a 100-yard dash.
Mm-hmm.
And you won and okay, man, I ran the race and
I'm done.
And you know, a lot of people sometimes can tend to, view their faith, their walk with Jesus Christ in that manner. You know, when somebody experiences the encounter with Jesus Christ that their life is converted, it's usually a very powerful experience and it changes that person's life dramatically.
Yes.
And you're never the same once you encounter the risen Christ.
That's why I love testimonies.
Yeah. But to the person who hasn't had that experience or hasn't had that faith experience, you know, who is faithful, and they still believe in Christ, they're still going to receive the same reward. I mean, they're going to still receive salvation. But, you know, for people that don't have that experience, they can tend to, I guess, not, you know, just not believe based on the person's testimony.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Paul's giving Timothy solid instruction so that he is a good minister, a good ambassador for Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that hits the nail on the head. And he's warning them about these other things.
Yeah.
You know, in the first chapter of Galatians, he says, you know, many of you have gone to another gospel, which isn't a gospel at all. And he tells them, if an angel comes and tells you another gospel, he's accursed. If I come back and tell you another gospel, I'm accursed. Because there's only one gospel, and when false teachers know how to say the right words, make it sound very believable, they profane the true gospel. Because when you start to add things, and you say, yes, salvation is Jesus, but on the other hand, what about all this stuff, and what about all that stuff, and what about all these things? And they take you off on tangents. And if you're not grounded, you can be easily swayed.
Yeah.
And as I always like to quote Hank Hanegraaff, who says, you should be so familiar with the truth that when a counterfeit looms, you immediately recognize it and don't realize, you may realize it when it's too late. But if you're well grounded, you'll realize it immediately. And interestingly, you know, they talk about the other thing these teachers can do is they can seem to be promoting the interest of the church that they're in. They seem to be promoting the interests of the kingdom, but they don't necessarily take you down a track which is solid, biblical, spiritual, faith-based approach to things.
Mm-hmm.
They're on all kind of tangents, and the prosperity people are, you know, part of this, but there's a lot of other examples, and there have been through the years. I mean, he mentions even eating, you know, if you tell somebody what they should eat and what they shouldn't eat,
mm-hmm.
you know, you and I have had a lot of experience with those kind of people. And there's very well-meaning believers who feel that we should still be following the dietary laws,
right.
despite what it says in Mark chapter 9 and Acts chapter 10 and in this chapter and some others, mm-hmm. where the dietary laws don't apply to us anymore.
Yeah.
And if you tell somebody, well, you could be a follower of Jesus, but you better not be eating this stuff. Because if you have some bacon or you have a pork chop, you know, you're a pretty sorry believer.
Yeah.
Because after all, that's now become the important thing, as I follow the dietary laws. So that's now become the important thing.
Yeah.
Well, that's a tangent.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're supposed to be looking at the cross, not what you're eating for dinner.
Right. It replaces the cross.
Yes.
In a large way, it does. It replaces the cross as being of more importance than, you know, the salvation that Jesus won for you on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And so Paul's addressing that area that was a point of contention for many believers in their day. He's addressing this with Timothy as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and even Jesus says, you know, it's not what goes into a person that defiles them.
Yes.
But what comes out of the heart.
Yes.
You know, lying.
Yes.
Greed. Hostility. Rivalry. Pride.
Mm-hmm.
All those things. Jesus is telling his disciples all those things are what defile a person. It's not what goes into a person by their mouth. Now, there were dietary laws for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as you point out, they're not, that's not the premise of why Jesus died on the cross.
Exactly.
If you want to follow the law, I mean, if you want to eat diet, you know, if you want to follow the dietary laws, you can, but it doesn't, it has no bearing on your salvation.
That's right.
You know?
Exactly. Or if you follow the dietary laws and don't know Jesus, it has a different bearing on your salvation.
Yeah.
But Paul says here that everything should be received with thanksgiving because God's made everything for us. So if you like to have bacon with your eggs, just to use the simplest example, you should do that with thanksgiving because God's provided it for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we as believers in the Messiah, we're not to focus on the things that were types and shadows.
Right.
We can learn about them and it's good to learn about them. But that's not the focus. There's a liberty that we have in Christ compared to the Mosaic laws.
Right.
The Mosaic laws were important. And like Paul says, you know, are the laws evil? Of course not, because God gave the laws. But now we're in a different covenant. We're in a different dispensation.
Right.
And Peter realizes that, you know, in Acts chapter 10 and 11 and a lot of other places. But we shouldn't, you know, God tells Peter, don't call anything unclean.
Right.
That I've made clean.
Right.
And so the food should be received with thanksgiving. And Paul says it's sanctified by his word. So when we see all the stuff going on now in the churches, and we shouldn't really be surprised because it's foretold by the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And as you mentioned, you know, when we talked about that quotation from John Paul II about church and anti-church, Christ and antichrist, gospel and anti-gospel. This was the final confrontation that we're in now. He also adds that this is God's plan.
Right.
So the Spirit tells Paul, well, this is going to happen in the latter days.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, when you read some of these letters that Paul wrote, and you think about how things are in our time, they are very, you know, you would almost think that he wrote them in our time.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how much they resemble our time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for people that will say, well, you know, the Bible just doesn't make any sense to me. You know, it's something that's just old and it's outdated. They obviously haven't read some of the letters to the, you know, to the communities.
Yes.
And to, like, Timothy, that talk about how sin divides a community, how sin divides a household,
mm-hmm.
how all these things that are not of God just diminish the fullness of life that Jesus Christ came to restore us with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so as Paul says here, thus, you know, this saying is trustworthy and deserves full acceptance. For mm-hmm. this we toil and struggle, because we have set our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all, especially of those who believe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Paul's talking about working for the gospel,
mm-hmm.
not because he's going to earn his salvation,
mm-hmm.
but because it's been commissioned to him.
Exactly. He says, I don't boast because I preach the gospel. I have to preach it.
Right. And so in this commissioning, and I was going to say this before at the end of the show last week about, you know, a lot of times in the church, we refer to people as volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
And we do our baptismal calling a great disservice when we do that. You're not a volunteer. Mm-hmm. Jesus didn't say, follow me and be my volunteer. He said, follow me and be my disciple.
Yeah.
You know, you're an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Act like one.
Yes.
You know, learn what he said and act like one.
And not just when you can fit it into your schedule.
Not right, exactly. We all have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because without that, the church is irrelevant. The church cannot be a light to the nations if we do not understand our call to baptism.
Yeah, yeah.
If we do not understand that we're a disciple and an ambassador for Jesus Christ, we can't be a light to anybody.
Yeah.
We're really what we're, you know, I know we said this, I think, a couple weeks ago, but we're trying to bring the darkness of the world into the church
mm-hmm.
and to transport it as light.
Mm-hmm.
To those who don't believe.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to work. It's not going to happen because it's not truth.
Yeah. We're trying to make people comfortable.
Yeah.
Not to have people feel bad.
Yeah.
But in this passage, you know, the Spirit gives a clear message that this is going to happen. So that's why we're seeing it happen. You know, as you were saying what you said just a while ago too, you know, read Romans chapter 1 for your homework. And you see the second half of that chapter, when you read it, even superficially, you see it's the time we're living in now. Because the Spirit gives these things to Paul as an absolute truth of what's going to happen in the latter days. And this is why when we study the Word, we're inspired by what the Spirit wrote, and we understand what's going on. False prophecies are, you know, usually kind of vague and don't quite sound right, but when the Spirit's telling Paul, this is what's going to happen. And interestingly, too, not everybody's going to be deceived. Paul uses the word some. I would say it's a lot more than some. I'd say it's a lot. But not everybody's going to be deceived. But the one thing is, and I think you brought up a good point I didn't think about before, where if you are teaching something that's false or not quite right, you may be doing it not even realizing that you're saying something wrong,
mm-hmm.
or you may be doing it maliciously because you want people to come to your church.
Right.
You want people that you can influence.
Right.
You want to say, you know, this is Joe Blow Ministries and here's what Joe Blow thinks.
Yeah.
Which, you know, but the issue is that you have to be so well grounded that you understand either this is true or this is not true.
Mm-hmm.
Or this is a wrong thing to emphasize, and this is a right thing to emphasize.
Yeah.
And Paul is telling Timothy that, too, that as he goes through his life as a pastor, you have to instruct people in these things.
Right.
You know, as a minister, as a preacher, you can't add things to the gospel, but you have to explain them, and you have to make them clear. And you have to be able to say it in a way that penetrates people.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to do the lesson over and over again. And people say, don't you ever get sick of hearing about whatever it is? I say, no, I like hearing more about it.
Yeah.
Because the more you hear about it, the more foundation you have.
Yeah. You know, it's by the work of the Holy Spirit that the person receives the word of God and it bears fruit.
Yes.
And it's not necessarily so much that the message isn't true that you're preaching, that you're teaching. You know, I can teach from this passage, or we can teach from this passage, and just because somebody doesn't understand it doesn't mean that we're teaching, you know, that it's not true.
Right.
But the Holy Spirit opens our heart and our ears to the Scripture. The Holy Spirit opens us to understanding, to receive the Word of God, that it bears fruit.
Yeah.
You know, and this is why Jesus taught all of these parables when he was with his disciples. All of these parables that he taught about are so vitally important for the believer to understand.
Because
they need to take root in their heart so that the Word of God can actually produce fruit.
Yes. Yes.
You know,
you don't hear much about fruit being produced anymore either.
You don't hear about fruit. You don't hear about any of that. If you just threw some seeds on the ground and expect some plants to grow, they'll eventually grow, but maybe not that good.
Uh-huh.
You have to till the ground, dig it up, give it some nourishment, fertilize it.
Yeah.
And then plant the seed.
Yeah.
Then you're going to get a good plant.
Yeah.
But in our culture, everybody's so busy. You know, the seed of God falls upon them and it gets taken away because they're in such a hurry to get to the next thing. And, our lives move at such a fast pace that most people don't even realize how fast their life is moving.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have time to even breathe. And they go, I don't have time for all this.
Yeah. It's on to the next thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think what he's meaning to tell Timothy is, even for teachers, pastors, ministers of whatever kind, you always need to continually be studying in order to be better grounded. You don't just pass it on to your parishioners. You have to do that too.
Yeah.
Because after all, you know, you're not, you know, the people that you are preaching to are your brethren. You know, you're not their Lord where you say, well, I already know everything, so therefore I'm going to tell you guys, you have to keep studying and you have to keep learning. You have to keep being humble and you have to remind yourself of the truth just as much as you have to remind the other people.
Yeah.
And Paul says you strive for godliness. You don't listen to fables. You don't worry about how much are you going to exercise your body or you're going to do some other kind of radical thing, because what you're supposed to be doing is striving for godliness. You're supposed to be not only leading others, but also taking yourselves toward that goal.
Yeah.
And I think, we don't want to sound pessimistic about everything, but you hear very little about that nowadays because everybody thinks they're already godly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And so, you know, I think you brought up a good point because, you know, he's saying this to Timothy, who's the pastor, the bishop, and whatever his title is at this point. You know, he says, you just got to keep working on this. And it's not always going to be easy. You know, he says, sometimes you're going to suffer reproach. Well, yeah, you're going to say things that's going to anger people. You're going to say things that people are going to say, I don't know what you're talking about, but that sounds pretty crazy. And you have to be ready for that. Because when you stand with the Savior, you have to know that you're going to go through the same things that he went through.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, Jesus says to his disciples, you know, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.
Yeah.
Ooh, the show's over.
I can't even believe it.
I know. It goes so fast. We'll have to pick it up next week.
I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that you would abandon your heart to the Lord, to serve him in spirit and truth, to love him with your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole self, and serve him in spirit and in truth. God bless everyone. Have a great week.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.